As we take up Lord's Day, let's turn together in our Bibles to Acts chapter 9. We'll read verses 26 through 31. Acts 9, 26 through 31. This is page 918 in the Pew Bibles. The Apostle Paul has just been converted. Many of the Jews were afraid and wary of him. And yet God gives comfort by way of his Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, we speak of Paul. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. And so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. As for the reading of God's holy word or text, being that last verse, verse 31. We also take the one question and answer of Lord's Day 20, page 221 in the Forms and Prayers book. Page 221, question and answer 53. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? That's the question, beloved. What do we believe concerning the Holy Spirit? We answer this way. First, that the Spirit, with the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, that he has given also to me, so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. It's for the reading of our catechism lesson this afternoon. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do disciples who are about to be without their master find hope and comfort, as in John 16 that we read earlier? How does the church find peace when it's under the threat of persecution and sword, as in the early days of our church? Remember how our passage this afternoon before us began. Paul, who was still Saul, had still been breathing threats and murder about the disciples of the Lord. How do believers find hope and peace in 2023 when they can't even say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman without at minimum raising some eyebrows, or at maximum at risk of losing job, friends, or even jail time? How do believers in 2023 endure temptation, brokenheartedness, loss, death, anxiety? How is it that we can get through the day? It's the same answer that has always been, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, as our text says. The Spirit who gives faith, who grows the church, he encourages, he comforts God's people. Our theme will be this afternoon. Without the work and comfort of the Holy Spirit, there would be no gospel. Without the work and comfort of the Holy Spirit, beloved, there would be no gospel. We'll take this up under two points or headings. First, through the Holy Spirit, God is with us. And second, God, the Holy Spirit, comforts us. Through the Holy Spirit, congregation, God is with us now. And God, the Holy Spirit, comforts us. So we begin with our first point, congregation. We know that the Father loves us. We know that he chose us in the Son. We know that the Son lived for us, that he died for us, that he was raised again for us, that he ascended into heaven, that he atoned for our sins, that he promised eternal life to us. But it's awfully easy for us to forget that these things are applied to us through the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. He, with the Father and the Son, is a person of the Trinity. He's no less God than the Father and the Son. He is God. In the Apostles' Creed, we've talked about the Father, the maker and sustainer of the earth, the Son and his accomplishment of salvation, and now the Spirit and the application of salvation and all its glorious and beautiful benefits. Notice when you look at the Apostles' Creed, because remember, that's what we're working our way through right now. When you look at the Apostles' Creed, notice those indentations that are under the work of the Spirit. The building of the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the union of the body, the application of the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of the resurrection and life everlasting. These are the things that the Holy Spirit constantly is witnessing to us, comforting us with in our hearts. Notice in our text that individual walks of all God's people in the building up of the church. There the Spirit is mightily at work, comforting and building. Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. You see, that line is key. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that leads to the church's multiplication. How could Saul, the persecutor of the church, become Paul, the great evangelist? The Holy Spirit created in a new heart when Saul was confronted by the Lord Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. How could the church bloom, blossom, and grow amongst a nation who should have known better, yet hated the Messiah, the Son of God? Well, it's the person and work of the Holy Spirit. How could small town Galilean fishermen impact the known world, turning it upside down, as we read in Acts 17, verse 6? It's the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, God is with us, his people. He's not a second-rate person of the Trinity. He is God. He is with us. The Father's mission was the Son's mission. Jesus says in John 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of my Father, of him who sent me, and to accomplish his work. And then in John 16, we saw that the Son's mission is also the Spirit's mission. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Father's mission is the Son's mission, and the Son's mission is the Spirit's mission. They are united in their mission of saving sinners like you and me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit willing and working towards one goal, one thing, one divine mission. No dissent, no friction amongst them, no difference of opinion, no difference in goal. The Father reigning over all things upon his throne, the Son, our great high priest, sitting, ruling, and interceding for us at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit sent to be with us, in us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. So, beloved, don't minimize, don't shortchange the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can be concerned about the misunderstanding that other streams of Christianity have, the errors that they have when it comes to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. But that ought not to force us into the other ditch on the other side of the road where we downplay, minimize the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we would have no faith or no understanding of the gospel, no interest in the things of God. Without the Spirit, there would be no growth in holiness, no comfort when our consciences, the devil, or even the world attack us. Make no mistake about it, and never forget the fact that you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have God living and reigning in your heart. There is no depth that you can enter, no height that you can climb in order to get away from his presence. Wherever you go through, wherever you walk, as a believer, you go in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, as we're told in our text. That is good news for us, congregation. Because not only is the Spirit with us, God himself is with us. The Spirit comforts us in our weakness. And don't we know the depths of our weakness? Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And again, those words from John 16:14, he that is the Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. To summarize it all, Luke tells us again in our text, the church growing through Judea, Galilee, and Samaria through the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In our first point, we established that the Holy Spirit indeed is God, co-equal with the Father and the Son. He has one and the same mission with them, one and the same goal with them. We also see that he makes us to share in all of Christ's benefits. Question and answer 20. Jam-packed. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Holy Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. And second, and don't let those words pass in one ear out the other. He has given to me also, so that through faith he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. God himself has given you his Holy Spirit. God himself lives in you, dwells in you. Let that sink in. We can all point to what we've walked through in the past few weeks. We've lost even one of our own members this past week. We've walked through difficulty in our health. We've walked through trials and tribulations in the relationships that we have with our own families and with friends. We've seen the chaos that is all over our world. Yet we are promised, as those who belong to Christ, that we are not alone, that his Holy Spirit dwells in us. We think to ourselves, well, all three members of the Trinity are co-equal. And so this does not deny the Spirit's work in creation, his work in providence. Jesus says to see him is to see his Father. To know the Spirit is to know Christ. Each are fully and equally persons of the Godhead. But just as each person of the Trinity is a unique person, so too each has his unique work to do. In that covenant of redemption, the Spirit applies the will of the Father and the work of the Son to individual believers and to the church in general. So what kind of comfort should this bring to believers who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them? What does it mean to share in all of Christ's benefits? Well, first, the Holy Spirit witnesses to and with our own spirits. He witnesses to who Christ is, that what he said was true, that what he accomplished was right, that what he accomplished was for you and for me. Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. Notice the apostle knows that we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer with Christ. But our God is so kind, so tender, so merciful, so patient with us, that he gives us a spirit, his spirit. He dwells within us to comfort us because he knows how easily doubt begins to creep in, how easily temptation creeps in. And so he gives us his spirit to testify, to witness to us, to remind us, you are mine. You belong to me. Nothing will separate you from my love. Height or depth, life, death, none of it. You belong to Christ. His grace is enough for you. Satan does not want these truths to sink in to us. He desperately wants us to think of our God as this far-off God, the God who holds us at arm's length, maybe even a God who's uninterested in the day-to-day workings of our lives. Or worse yet, an angry God who wants nothing to do with us. But do you see, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible loves his children so much that he provides for our weakness at every single turn, in every single valley, at the peak of every mountain of the Christian life. Even in the midst of persecution, the church throughout all Judea, we read in our text, in Galilee and Samaria, had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Why? Because God the Holy Spirit gave the gift of faith to sinners like us. Remember Ephesians 2 this morning? Because God the Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts with our own spirits that Christ indeed died for us to fully pay for all our sins. That Christ was raised from the dead. That Christ ascended into heaven. That Christ will come again. That while we wait, we can endure all sorts of pain, suffering, persecution, knowing, being assured God loves us. That in all these things we are more than conquerors. We must get the picture that God is for us and not against us. That he is kind, gracious, merciful, and loving. Even when we stray, the Spirit is with us. In those moments, it's more painful. Because when we stray off the narrow way, the Spirit comes and pricks our consciences. But it's out of love to draw us back once again into the arms of the Lord. When we notice that tender and compassionate and patient heart we have for others, that's because the Holy Spirit's been at work in us. Because we know that if he hadn't worked in us, we'd have the same state of unbelief and rebellion. But we come to the Lord's table. We eat bread, we drink wine, but because the Spirit holds our souls in heaven, we're nourished. We feed upon Christ. Even when we're mourning and grieving over the loss of a beloved believing loved one, we grieve, we cry, we mourn. And yet with the deep and glorious hope that this one will be raised again. That comfort comes from the Holy Spirit. Our eyes being open to the Scriptures, seeing things that we hadn't before. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Why is that when we begin and end our day in the Word? Why is that we find greater peace for the day? Because the Holy Spirit working through the Word. Why is it that those who are on their deathbeds can be calm for a few moments as Scripture is read to them? It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, your God cares for you so much that he knows that even though you cannot see him, that even though you cannot see him, he promises that he will never leave you alone. Your God knows that you cannot see him with your eyes, and yet he witnesses in your heart by his Spirit that he will never leave you or forsake you. If you want to know what true separation from God looks like, hear that cry that the Lord Jesus made upon the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was Christ atoning for your sins, being cut off where we deserve to be cut off. And yet the fact that Christ cried out those words as the wrath of God was placed on him, the Spirit comes to the hearts of believers and comforts them because they will never, ever have to hear those words from God. Never, ever have to utter those words before God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because through the blood of Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit, those words never need to cross our lips because the Lord never will forsake us for all of eternity. Christ is always with us. The love of God the Father is ever with us. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is always with us, in us. All of this because the Spirit brings these things and applies them to us. And so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. How? Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Beloved, where are you looking to see your own faith strengthened, multiplied? Your own heart encouraged? Your own growth in holiness and righteousness? Your own growth in comfort and strength? It's because God has so graciously given us his Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God Almighty, we thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have one mission, one mind. The salvation of your people. And in doing so, O Lord, you receive all the glory, all the honor. It is due to you and to you alone. Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone, that you have not left us in our fears by ourselves, in our anxieties, in our temptations, in our moments of weakness, but you are right there with us. You are never far off from us. Father, help us to be thankful. Help us to more and more see and depend on you and your strength. To more and more recognize the Spirit working within through the Word. Oh Lord, that we would be made more and more like Jesus. That we would depend on you and your strength more and more. Oh Lord, even as we have already confessed in this life, this will never happen perfectly. But, oh Lord, one day it will. And so we thank you for the Spirit who comes to us now in that time between the times, the time between when Christ first came to win our salvation and that time when he will return in glory to fulfill all things, to bring to us the fullness of our salvation. The Lord, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, send us forth this week in the strength and knowledge of these things. Help us to seek out the Spirit. Help us to open your word, whether it be at home by ourselves or with the family around the table, that we would hear the comforting words that you bring us. And indeed, as we hear that word, may the Spirit witness with our spirits that we belong to you. Oh Lord, we ask these things in the name of Christ, our Savior. We ask them through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Respond with the words of number 400, our song of application. Number 400, Gracious Spirit.